from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. After a kind of a strange week last week, we have the crew back down in studio tonight, so that's great. Which means over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the Tuna Country Matt Kemp. And bellied up to the bar is this week the swinginest bachelor in the city of Louisville, the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Just call me Mr. Mom.
Man, I'm really surprised that you're here tonight. With all the betting success that you've had in like the past, I figured you done retired to Fiji.
No,
I didn't know,
no.
Like, yeah.
Well, what I didn't tell y'all was I was in the hole a lot, and I am doing so well that I'm in the green and moving fast the other direction, baby.
Scratching.
Maybe that's why I'm so excited, really.
They say
that
you'll never win your money back if you stop betting.
I'm not.
So, I mean,
I'm only betting like a couple $10 parlays every other night.
I mean, that is some Plato-like logic. Like, that's straight Socrates
and
stuff right there.
No truer statement's ever been said.
And if I don't win early, I'd pick a couple late-nighters.
Oh,
you know, just
I love
like
the late-night
to
chasing.
Get my money back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The thing is, I'm
that
not
always
being greedy.
Works out. Tuna.
It was a 11 p.m. tip-off
yes,
between
yes.
UC Santa Barbara and Pepperdine.
UC Irvine, baby. Yeah.
Oh, man. I want to remind everybody we are on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter. This week we have, this is kind of a weird time in sports. Baseball is in spring training. Obviously, the regular season hasn't started yet. College basketball is winding down its regular season. The NBA just had its all-star break. The NHL is back up and running after the Four Nations tournament. And around here, of course, derby preps are running, coming fast and furious. Freddie has broken down several of them already. I know we have a big weekend of that coming up that Fred is going to talk us through here in a little bit. I thought tonight we could start just quickly. I wanted to selfishly talk about my weekend this past weekend in Bloomington. Went up with Colin to the IU-Purdue game, which we had discussed last week on the show. Indiana gets a big win. Unbelievably, they are at least bubble adjacent at this point. Would you say that bubble adjacent is a good way
they
to
describe that? They are definitely right by the bubble, and which is big because now there is a new metric that's used that's called wins above bubble, WAB.
Okay.
So you have to pay attention to WAB.
This.
WAB is part of the net rankings now.
Okay.
So when they're all sitting around the room seeing where they're going to seed these guys, the word WAB will be said.
Is that a new guy like Lenardi's on the side and then you got big WAB sitting there? Or?
Well, I don't know if WAB is a person. They may have a mascot that they call Big WAB.
All right.
I'd hope so. Something like a Pop-Tart, the Pop-Tart mascot.
Can't wait to see how WAB does.
Which, by the way, the Pop-Tart mascot did show up in Fist Bump Sister Jean. This weekend.
Sister Jean is still alive and running, I noticed. Yes.
Two iconic figures hanging out at the Loyola game.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Indiana is such a weird team, and you know, I've talked about them more than I probably should on this show, but they're either 2-6 in their last eight or 2-8 in their last, I forget which one it is. But their two wins are at Michigan State. And then against Purdue. And then they almost beat Purdue a few weeks ago up there. And yet.
I think they can win tonight.
Who?
I mean, IU.
Well, they certainly.
Yeah.
But this is a weird game because they play Penn State at home in Bloomington. It's a weird, like, what is it? It's Wednesday night, 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Like one of their top players back who's been out pretty much most of the year.
And.
So.
you know, this is a, you know, I'm sure that the IU players have been hearing since Sunday how good they're playing, and you know, you've got a chance to make the tournament and all this stuff. They've been getting a little love on through the media and stuff. I'm very interested to see how they come out and play tonight. But quickly, not to talk, I don't really have anything to say about the IU game except they played hard and they won, and Purdue is in a weird kind of funk. But I did want to acknowledge that it was really cool that it happened to be the 40th anniversary to the day of the Indiana-Purdue game where Coach Knight famously threw the chair across the court. And I had said something to Colin the night before when we were out at dinner, and I said, man, wouldn't that be cool if they brought out one of those type of chairs and like put it at the center court and put a spotlight on it before the game or something? And I said, but I don't think they would do that to bring attention to that or whatever. Well, that's stupid, because as I walked in, not only were they bringing attention to it, they were selling a Bob Knight throwing the chair bobblehead, which is now proudly on the master control desk down here in the...
maybe the coolest bobblehead I've ever seen, actually.
They really did a great job with it. Like,
kind of looks like Bill Clinton, but other than that...
But you know what? It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, they really did a great job of making it, like, look...
It's like Pete Carroll, too.
Oh, the face on his, I mean, and is epic.
They got the hair, like... perfect.
Hell yeah.
to be a bobblehead geek. But anyway, they were obviously leaning into the fact that had happened. And then in a very cool gesture, after they did the starting lineups from out of one corner of the stadium, I saw like a manager or whatever carrying a chair. And I said, Colin, look at that. They're going to do something with that chair. And they actually brought it over, took Coach Woodson's chair out of off the bench, and put that one down for him to sit in during the game. And he thinks that it's the actual chair that Coach Knight threw. I know there's a lot of people that question that. I am inclined to think that it's a better than most chance that is the chair. I have one of these days when there's nothing else going on and I have 10 minutes to tell a story, I will tell the story as to why I think that's the chair. I have a kind of a neat little connection.
Well, we might have the time tonight.
To that. We'll see.
Yeah.
If we have time at the end of the show, I will, because it is a cool story. But we talked right before we came on last night. Louisville didn't play particularly well, but they found a way to win on the road in their league. Kentucky has a huge ball game tonight, playing Oklahoma. Is that at Oklahoma?
It is.
Yes.
So, I mean,
the Fighting Porter Mosers.
Their team is not doing well, and I've heard that he might be on the hot seat.
Which
is
crazy,
right?
Because his name was being mentioned for other jobs last year.
I think they're a team that can beat you know who they remind me of? They remind me of a team that just fired their coach.
Utah. Yeah.
Who I thought, you know, yeah, they're not having a great year, but Utah... what are they, like 15-11? I mean, they're not horrible, and I know they've had a couple good wins,
Oklahoma,
maybe a few good wins.
They went undefeated in the non-conference, and I think they're, 4-10 in SEC play?
Yeah, they can be dangerous.
No, they can. They got, that freshman point guard who's really kind of rowdy. Porter Moser really does have, a weird resume, though. Like, he was not a very winning guy.
And then
then he goes to the Final Four.
Yep.
With Loyola. And then
have 2 years where they were like the darlings of the tournament? Didn't they go to the Final Four and then an Elite Eight, or was it an Elite Eight?
No. They actually missed the tournament like the year after. And then
was it just the 1 year
that they had
their run?
You're talking about Jeremiah Fears, right?
Jeremiah Fears is the guard.
He's having
rookie
a great
kid.
Year.
Yeah. I mean, he came right in out of the gate and crushed it. Right.
Well, that is weird. I mean, to have the one mm-hmm. – and it was – I mean, they were the magic – like the magic team, the Sister Jean, yeah. as you had talked about before. But I guess that's striking
while
the
iron's
hot.
I think it
was
like 2 years
hot.
Later they had a Sweet 16 run or
okay,
whatever.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I guess he parlayed that into the Oklahoma job, and he's been at Oklahoma for 4 years. This is his fourth year?
Something like that.
So,
right.
And I don't think he's really had much success at Oklahoma.
Right. They just upset Mississippi State, you know, and they are on the bubble.
The problem
I think they're like Indiana, right?
Like,
they're
this is probably one of the better teams he's had at Oklahoma. It's just you entered into the buzzsaw that's the SEC right now.
Right.
And it's just night in and night out. There's no really games off in that. Who do you think the worst team in SEC is? South Carolina and Texas?
I think it's South Carolina.
Yeah, I'd
just
say South Carolina.
That's strictly because I would say this. South Carolina has the least amount of talent, I think, in the SEC. Now, whether they're a worse quote-unquote team than Texas is up for debate. But I don't think there's any question that Texas has players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand that team.
Like, Oklahoma was 13-0 to start the season. They beat Michigan, Louisville, Arizona.
That's what I said. They went undefeated in the non-con.
Yeah, and you're all over it. I mean, they're just one of them crazy, and they've lost to all SEC schools, which a lot of them are ranked. It's very weird. It is a weird season, is it not? It's a strange season.
Yeah.
But a fun season.
Well, this is the first time, I believe they said, since they've been keeping this any sort of record about anything like this, the first time that the teams that were ranked in the top 10 preseason are all unranked as of whatever the date was.
Wait a minute.
I'm almost positive that's what it said.
Tennessee's still ranked. They were a top 10 team. Auburn was a top 10 team.
I'm almost positive that's what it said.
No, that can't be right. Duke was a top 10 team. Were they not going into
I have
season?
No idea.
Yeah. I know.
I have to look that up because it was and that might not have been it. Maybe it was 10 of the top 25 or whatever it was. Yeah, because that makes sense because I think
Alabama was a top 10 team.
I think Auburn was ranked like second in the country.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
I'd throw Clemson in there too. I think they were in the top.
I think they started out like Final Four run.
They didn't lose anybody.
Yeah.
After making the Final Four. Unlike NC State, who lost everybody and, you know, they fell apart.
NC State, you almost feel bad for them because, like, they were going to fire Kevin Keats.
I know. And then he goes to the Final Four. And then, the darlings of the Final Four.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
That's such a weird scenario.
They, you know, and it's sad because, you know, NC State has a proud tradition there, a couple national championships. And when I watched their game the other night, I don't remember if I texted on our thread or not. I said, there couldn't have been 700 people in that building.
No.
And the people that were there were completely disinterested in the game.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, they're on, like, Tobacco Road. Like, that's basketball heaven down there.
Oh, no. They're huge. We seen it last year. They're diehards. Yeah. But it's like Louisville the past 2 years. You don't want to go down to the stadium, fight traffic to watch just a awful team play at like 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night. Like, you got better shit to do. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. The thing is like the ACC is so bad at basketball all the way around. And if you can't even
except for Duke and Clemson and Louisville, we already talked about.
But what I'm saying is like those three, I think, are a little bit separated from everybody else.
They are.
But, like, for NC State to not even be competitive in such a bad league,
right?
That's pretty bad. I don't know. Like, when a conference is down that bad, you'd like to think that you'd be able to get up. But it's not. It does nothing for you. I think these guys are disinterested. They're going out and playing awful teams night in and night out, and they're just ready to get the season over with. Yeah. There's no competitive edge in there with anything.
And how about Kansas not being in the top 25 for the first time in like...
It's like 20-something years, right?
It's been a long time. Yeah. I don't know. And they're also going to not finish first or second in their league for... I believe that'd be the second year in a row, right?
Yes, what if I told you that right now they have better odds to win the national championship than UConn?
Well,
that's
I don't expect either one of those teams to make the Sweet 16. Do you?
No, I think
UConn could
tournament
get
experience
up there,
with UConn could
Duke
maybe
just see. I mean, what's crazy?
There's something wrong with them too.
What's crazy is Duke has all these guys that have stayed. You know, the point guard with the headband. Big dog, the muscular guy. I mean, I don't even have to name their names. Everyone knows the three I'm talking about. They've been in huge games. I almost feel like that when they get in the tournament, maybe that's what they're waiting for. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not helping them. They're going to be a high seed, and you know how that goes, but it's so strange.
Who's going to be a high seed?
If Kansas makes the tournament,
I don't know, man. They might get like a.
They're going to be what?
I think
like
7-9,
an 8 range. Or a 9.
I think by high he means numerically.
No, I mean numerically.
Numerically,
yeah,
high.
But no, but you know what I'm saying. I feel like those guys could mesh in the tournament when they're just not doing anything in the Big 12 right now.
It would kind of suck for like the Big 12 if they got a 7 seed and then some 2 seed had to play them and you know.
Right,
the second
that's
game.
What I mean. They will be dangerous with all their experience.
Well, that happened with Kentucky. What was it, 2014, when they were like a 9 seed? They played in the 8-9 game and got Gonzaga in the second week or second day.
Yeah,
second...
and you know how that happens. You get that 7-10 or that 8-9. Like I was looking, I found it interesting. I was looking through all the top 10, and their losses. And most of them are pretty legit. And do you know Alabama scored 108 times this year? Over 100?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
unbelievable.
That's what they do.
And then Michigan State had 3 losses in a row in February, just not long ago. Bad ones to UCLA, IU, and USC.
Now, really, the USC game is the only one that's going to end up being a bad loss.
Well, right. And I'm not saying a bad loss, but when you compare it to Auburn's losses, Florida and Duke.
UCLA certainly isn't a bad loss.
No, they're not, but they're not playing very well right now, I don't think. But
I think they've gotten
better. But you know what? The number one team in the land, you know how I am. I like to look back and see what they did last year. What team was pushing to get to that championship, it's all about the Final Four, in my opinion.
It's a bold move with a bunch of, like,
but trying to get to but you're trying to get to the Final Four, and, you know, Auburn, I totally forgot about this. They choked in the first round. Auburn is the number one team right now, the most dominant, and they choked in the first round.
That's not going to happen to this.
I know, but isn't that amazing? I was going through like Houston, Sweet 16. They lost to Duke. Alabama, Final Four. Duke, Elite Eight. Michigan State, second round. Tennessee, Elite Eight. Clemson, Final Four. And then you look at Auburn, they choked to I think it was it Harvard or
no
somebody
idea.
Like that?
Yale.
It was Yale.
Yeah, Yale's
and it's
good
just
again.
Amazing how that can happen to a team that you're watching this year that's so dominant.
And I'm
they're all 30 years old this year, so it's gonna be I don't know. And then Duke lost Proctor last night. He's done,
yes,
I think, for
I
the season.
That.
So that's a big hit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hadn't even heard that.
A few days ago, I was listening to something with John Fanta, and he was saying if you could give him, he would take, if he had to make a bet, he would take Auburn and Duke versus the field. He would take either of those two teams to win over anybody else. Now, I'm sure that's probably changed since Proctor's injury.
Right.
But Auburn just looks like there's parity throughout so much of college basketball, but for what Auburn's been able to do at such a consistent level.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man.
And I do want to fact check me, but I did find the actual stat that I was trying to talk about before. Yeah. It's the first time in 55 years that five of the preseason top 10 are out of the rankings completely.
Okay.
And those five teams are Kansas, UConn, Gonzaga, Baylor, and North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So
North Carolina, why? I don't understand why they were even ranked there. Did you guys know that Hubert Davis already signed an extension?
Yes, and because it's funny, Colin and I
thought he was going to get canned.
Colin and I talked about it on last week on when he called in on last week's show.
Yeah,
because I was thinking Indiana and North Carolina both in a coaching search at the same time could be an interesting kind of dynamic. And I said, you know, I know North Carolina has kept it in the Carolina family for 70 years or whatever. And I was like, is there anybody in the family that is qualified for the job and blah, blah, blah. And then like 3 days later, they say, oh yeah, by the way, he signed that in December.
Well, what it was offered to him in December and he had it. In December. He didn't sign it until just recently.
Oh, okay.
But he's had it. Well, so, like, they worked that out in December. So maybe he's
smart.
Just
he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Because, and this is kind of, I mean, it's the same topic, but kind of going in a different direction. I've never understood, and you see it happen in football, basketball, really in all sports. I've never understood signing your coach to an extension early unless you think other teams
are after him.
Want him.
You're right.
Is anybody like calling the AD at North Carolina and saying, hey, we'd like to have permission to talk to Coach Davis? Like, no. I don't think so.
I mean, is he respected in the NBA circles? Like, would somebody consider him as an NBA coach?
I think he
would be an assistant.
Yeah.
He certainly has
cachet
in the league for years
to
so,
get a job.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But
but
he's not going to leave out of there and go be a head coach.
Well, you never know in the NBA. They hired JJ Redick. The Lakers did out of nowhere. Wasn't he podcasting?
He was.
Yeah,
I mean,
so like maybe one of us would be coaching the Mavericks.
And JJ Redick might get coach of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, but like he was. You know, he wasn't coaching anywhere.
No,
nope.
Right.
So.
Right. But he was doing, I think people found out about his, well, he was doing games and then he's on, you know.
Like the,
he was,
the studio show.
Yeah. And then he had his own podcast, which I heard was one of the top in the country.
A big difference between him and just use Hubert Davis as an example is that Redick was completely and fully involved in the NBA game as it is today. And Hubert Davis hasn't been involved in the NBA in a decade.
What's
right?
the deal with Duke? It's Jai Lucas thing.
He's
might
go to Miami, and apparently,
how long has he been a head coach?
He hasn't been a head coach. He's assistant.
How long has he been an assistant?
Well, I mean, he was just
Jesus. He was just playing.
Yeah, he was just playing.
Did he play at Kentucky and then transfer?
Did he ever play at Kentucky?
Yes.
I thought he committed there, but
played there and then went to UCLA.
Yeah, I don't ever remember him playing at Kentucky.
I was like, is this the same Jai Lucas?
It is.
It was
it's
like
the same
6
guy.
Years ago or something.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
He's the new wave of cool.
And he's like the super hot name that everybody thinks. Like Shire was saying the other day, like he's a head coach. It's just a matter of where he wants to go. And I think he probably has his pick. Now, Miami is the place that they say makes the most. I guess he's from there. And
okay.
They say that like he can basically walk in a kid's living room or he doesn't even have to go visit the kid personally. Like he just after 5 minutes of talking with a kid, any kid wants to play for him. Okay. And then
and
you
he
add
is
that
from the West
with
Coast. He's
Miami's
from LA.
Endless supply of money down there. That
yeah,
they just
he was a Matter Day guy or something. I know he was from L.A. when he came to Kentucky because that was a wake-up call for him when he came.
I thought he was from Miami, and that's why they said
I thought he was from out west.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
but
I
anyways,
don't know
I just,
either.
I just, when you're talking about North Carolina, and then I see that on Duke, and like, what is going on here?
So they're basically just like, they're wondering, you know, like, can he maintain focus on
Speaking
this season
of,
until the tournament, or you know, is it going to be a Lane Kiffin type situation where
right
where they tell him to get lost?
Hey, speaking of alma maters and coaches that are doing well, and I just want to throw this out here while we're talking about it before we move on to other stuff, but I think Penny Hardaway's doing a freaking great job at Memphis.
Well, I don't
right
think it's
now.
Him, man. I think it's that last minute coaching staff he threw together with Nolan Smith.
Okay. Oh. Well, I mean, maybe, but
I don't think it has anything
to
do with that at
I'm
all.
I'm just saying.
No,
that,
I like
that
Penny,
he
man.
Has. He had a tough time at the beginning, and he's really dug in and kind of found his niche. I mean, they have wins over Michigan State, Clemson, Missouri. Like, they're 20-4. Or 21-4. I mean,
I think
I'm not saying they're gonna. They can be, you know how they've done in the tournament too. They have upset some teams.
Yeah. Anytime I'm thinking about Penny though, I'm thinking about Rick Barnes at Texas.
You ain't thinking a little Penny
where you have all these Chris Rock.
Hey.
That's you, dude.
That's me, dude. I'm wearing his chain
You're a little
right
tuna.
Now. Little By the way, folks, we didn't get to say
awesome.
This, but Little Tuna's over here wearing it shorts.
It's 70
degrees
out.
I'm waiting
out
for
today.
Him to get. He's got to get them legs a little tanner, dog.
It's February.
You know, hey, you know what'll help that?
Yeah.
A little four Chris. A little
I'm not
four.
Putting Crisco on my skin, dude.
I was gonna say. I mean,
yeah, I'm not that guy.
If you take Freddie's sunbathing advice.
No, I have skin cancer tomorrow.
I was
going to
say, you'll either be at the dermatologist's office in a week or you'll come in here next week looking like George Hamilton.
And don't forget over here, Travis has shaved his beard off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on around here?
I know.
Like, you
it's
know,
all,
like everyone pulled a couple of changes as we're sitting here talking and discussing.
It's total chaos down here tonight. I haven't been beardless in a decade. And I just decided to shave. I'm just growing it back, but I just decided to shave it off today. It has been funny to see when I pulled up to my daughter's school today to pick her up. All the teachers, when I opened the door, they were like, whoa!
Yeah, we need to see some ID, sir.
But,
hey, and real quick, yeah. You were talking last week with Colin. Y'all were talking about IU coaching replacements. One name that you guys didn't mention that's getting thrown around a lot right now is TJ Otzelberger.
I was waiting for you to
I
say
think,
that.
I think the more that I've heard and the more that I've read, I would put him probably at the top of the list for being interested and Indiana being interested.
Well, getting him interested is probably the biggest part because I think his wife, they are like the Ames, Iowa family. You know what I mean? Like they're all dedicated to being there.
Right.
So like getting his wife and family and all that like bought in, that may be the thing. But a job like IU, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people younger than us don't look at IU the way that like we look at IU.
Absolutely not.
But still, like TJ Otzelberger knows what kind of job that is, and yeah, I don't know. It makes sense.
I think that of the names that have been bandied about a lot, it seems like his has picked up a lot of momentum in the last, even just in the last
and
week.
I'm telling you what, he looks just like Southern Indiana to me. Yeah. Like when I look at him, I think of Huber's. Yeah. Just the appearance, the haircut, the plaid shirts, everything.
Yep.
So
I can totally see that.
Yeah.
Anything else college basketball wise you guys wanted to get to?
No. I've nope. picked up a couple teams that I am starting to like more and more. And I know we've mentioned a few, and I'm not going to get into like the BYUs and teams like that, but two teams that have surfaced for me, St. Mary's, and I know we've talked about them 25-4.
Oh yeah. They're
dynamite. We know they're not, their three losses last were in December. They are hot.
I'm not getting,
they're
on board
not playing
with them.
Anybody.
I'm a San Francisco guy.
I get it. Okay. San Francisco, but Utah State,
go Dons.
That's right.
Utah State is a team that I think can upset anybody at any given time, the way they shoot the ball, and a team that it made the Sweet 16 last year that has some really good wins on their board. I think once they get to the tournament, and they've been there before, folks, San Diego State.
Yeah.
I'm really liking their team and their depth. I've watched them a couple times.
Who
now, they can lose to anybody,
Saturday.
Too.
They had a big game
they
Saturday, didn't they?
They can lose to anybody. Was that wasn't San Francisco, was it?
No. But that was their Mountain West. But somebody, was it?
I'll tell you in just a second.
Yeah, they had a big game. I was watching a little bit of that, I feel like.
Utah State beat San Diego State.
Yeah, I guess
yeah,
what it was.
Yeah.
So there's your two teams.
Right, there's your two teams. Yeah. And Maryland, of course, as we've said, you know, I think Colorado State's a great shooting team, too.
Talk to me about St. John's. Like, would you lay any kind of future on St. John's right now?
I love that team.
I do, too.
Do you think they
can
score?
What about their defense?
I mean, but can they score
enough
points?
That's my caveat was going to be when you get in the tournament.
Yeah.
Their defense is good enough to win two games. Mm. Offensively, I just don't see it. Like
if they pulled like a Tennessee in the Sweet 16,
oh no, they
that,
could
that
dude.
Score could be like, you know, 50-45
they could.
Or something.
I'm
like
gonna
that.
Give you their four losses: Villanova, Creighton, Georgia, and Baylor. So, you know, they can also shit the bed.
But it's just. Like Tuna said,
who's the bad teams on there?
Well, there aren't any.
Exactly.
They're not bad.
Yeah.
They're not. Well, Villanova ain't gonna.
Villanova
make
steps up and beats people
yep.
this year. Like they're not
have,
terrible,
but
they're
questionable.
Their record's
to make
not
the
good, but they've played the hell out of teams.
They've been a lot better at the beginning of the year. They had like four.
They
play
great at
losses.
Home. They play great at home too,
and
yeah.
they've been playing a lot better.
And Georgia just comes off a big win last night. Baylor, as we've said, they're kind of. Ever since Drew decided not to come to Kentucky, he's kind of.
Well, I'm sure that is absolutely what led.
I think what started it was him turning down Louisville.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I don't think it was him. I think it was his wife that wears the britches in that family.
Yeah.
But, hey. I'll
Dusty must have got all the good karma from turning down Louisville and all the shit.
Yeah.
Ran downhill to Coach Drew. Yeah.
There you go. See. But Creighton's a team that, you know, they play good in the tournament, win their first round game, maybe a second rounder, but they're a team
Creighton?
That always dominates at home.
I'm not
questionable on the road.
Screw
you don't like them.
No,
okay.
Creighton. Like every year, I'm in on Creighton, and then like they do nothing but let me down every time it gets to it. So I'm like, I'm sick of even believing in Creighton. Like, I'm done with Creighton. I don't even acknowledge them as a basketball program anymore.
It would be cool. If I lived in Indianapolis tonight, I guarantee you it's probably a hot-ass ticket, but I would be at Hinkle Fieldhouse tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Because Rick is bringing the Johnnies in there to play Butler, and that will be awesome.
Right, yes, that will.
Yeah, you gotta check that game out tonight, and then roll down to the combine the next day.
Yeah, yeah,
so now, big weekend
yep,
in Indiana.
Are you all that's safe to say deal. That our number one seeds are pretty much set already? Auburn, Houston, Bama, and Duke.
Houston, I think, could get out of it if Alabama goes on a tear or Florida.
Well, Bama is one.
Well, okay, so say Florida wins the SEC tournament.
Okay, well.
You know what I mean?
I think they're better than Florida.
Houston's probably, I think they're better than Florida too, but I think Houston has that.
Michigan State could slide in there.
If one of the teams that you listed is not going to be in there, I'd say Houston's probably that team.
Okay.
Houston's another
Auburn,
team, like
Houston,
they're going to have
Bama,
to be able to score
Duke.
When they need to.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of teams like that can play some
and
good defense.
Samson's teams are typically that way, and that's why a lot of times they say, well, maybe they're not necessarily built for the NCAA
and the
tournament.
He does have a L.J. Crier this year. Who
yep.
can,
they
can
lost
score,
to Duke last year
dealt
in the
with
Sweet
a lot
16.
Of injuries like in the past, like right before
yeah.
the tournament happens. Like, didn't they lose Sasser?
Yeah.
Before
yes.
the
yes.
tournament?
Yes, Sasser got
yeah.
hurt.
Yeah. yeah, so like.
That was huge.
We just need to keep L.J. Crier healthy and, God.
But I love watching them play. I love watching St. John's play. I've enjoyed Maryland.
I like watching Clemson play.
I like watching Missouri play. I think that's a fun team.
And
Missouri,
that's a neat story because of the fact that they didn't win a single game in their league last year. And now
they put 110 on Bama.
And
110.
The interesting thing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I was thinking about this. They didn't, like, raid the transfer portal and, like, get a whole new team.
They got a bunch of dudes I never heard of before.
I don't know anyone on that team.
Yeah, I don't either.
Most of the guys
played
last season for them, and they stuck with them. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know that outfit well enough to know if there's not maybe one star or whatever that they brought in. But I will tell you, like, at least three of those guys that start for them played on that team that didn't win a single game last year in the conference.
And I think Tuna and I, and now is the time that you and I need to talk about Louisville and Kentucky. We mentioned everybody but them, and we haven't really talked to them last week or the week before. I had a buddy going, when the hell are you going to at least talk about Kentucky a little bit? Give us a little bit of love, even though I know we've lost. But we got Butler and Robinson back tonight.
Yep.
We have a lot of – we beat Tennessee twice. We've beaten – yes, Gonzaga's out of the tournament, but they're – I mean, is out of the rankings, but they're 21-6. I mean, come on. They're still a good team. Kentucky has a lot of really good ranked losses against teams that were ranked, aren't ranked, but good battles. They've beaten Duke. I think Kentucky, Tuna, and I want to talk to you about Louisville because I've watched every Louisville game, too, and I'm sure you've watched some UK ones.
No.
But dude, I think that UK has the depth now that they've had these two players out, which I felt one of them could have played some of these games. This is a must-win for us, I think.
And
Auburn is not necessarily a must-win, but would be huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that Kentucky
is – I don't think Kentucky's in must-win games right now.
No, but they are a team that no one's going to want
to
play.
Nobody wants to play Kentucky.
And I have them as a – this is my honest opinion, and I know some UK fans are going to think I'm crazy. I have them as – that probably would be a 6 getting a 5.
Oh, that's no, Kentucky's a 3 seed.
You think they're higher than that?
Kentucky's
if they lose to Auburn and
yeah,
okay.
I think Kentucky's getting a 3 seed because of their.
Wow.
If you look at the net rankings, throw the top 25 out.
Hell,
the
I'll take a 4.
Yeah, it could be a 4, but 3 I think is probably what it's going to be.
Okay, maybe I'm in another.
Kentucky has so many quad 1 wins and like high, you know.
And everyone knows they've had injuries.
Their resume is huge. I don't. Do injuries even factor in? But
they shouldn't.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, hell, then put Louisville
not
up there.
More so in football.
Yeah,
I know Louisville, but see, people forget the beginning of the year.
I think what's impressive with Kentucky is the way that they've played without Butler and Robinson.
Right.
I mean, they beat Tennessee without either of them.
Right.
I mean,
and some of their players from the inside the state are really playing good. Mountain Man, you love him.
Well, I love his nickname, which I think may be the best nickname in all of college basketball. They call him Mountain Mamba.
Mountain Mamba,
and if
baby.
That isn't an NIL dream.
Yeah.
To sell those t-shirts. You know every person east of Winchester is going to have a Mountain Mamba shirt.
Mountain Mamba.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's great. And then you got both sides of the state covered. You got the one kid from Lyon County, Travis Perry.
Right.
Mr. Basketball.
You like his hair.
Yeah. no, I do. I like the kid. But he's good. He just can't play defense. And
well,
really,
no.
That's the problem. Really?
Right.
You don't have anybody on your team that can really play defense?
No.
Except for Lamont
Butler.
Yeah.
Now you got to give Williams credit. He is playing better.
No, he's progressed over the last 3 weeks. Amari Williams has just really grown up.
Really grown up. And Garrison is still the one that frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah, I would never want him on the court if I was a UK fan.
But he's like 5 fouls. That's the way
I
see it.
That,
maybe,
if you're going to look at it like that,
maybe
then,
6 points, you know. But anyways, in a nutshell, I think we know that Kentucky is a team no one's going to want to play. I had him as a 5. You're saying a 3. That makes me feel great.
I think a 3 or a 4 is what they're getting at. I think they're their ceiling is a 3 and their floor is a 4. Okay. So they're right there in that. So
now let's talk about the Ville.
Yeah, hold on real quick. I want to circle back to Kentucky.
I love that. Keep going.
Well, no, I'm just saying, but like having Butler and Robinson is so big because it frees up Kobe Brea. And when you get
that's a good point.
When you get in these tournament games, you always got this guy that goes off in games and carries you through them.
Right.
Kobe Brea is going to be that guy for Kentucky.
Yeah.
Like, he has to get his looks. And I feel like without those two on the court, it's really
right.
What?
No,
just you're the, looking at the stars.
The thumping that's going on up there.
Yeah,
I didn't know. I
quickly,
was...
not to interrupt you, but when did Bruce Weber turn into Grandpa Munster?
Oh my God!
Look at him. He looks like Grandpa Munster.
He looks like that bobblehead.
Like the same person.
That's a bobblehead.
If you just showed me that guy and been like, "Who is this?" I'd be like Orville Redenbacher. I have no idea. Like,
anyway, sorry to interrupt there. I just caught that out of the corner of my eye.
I think like it's just been so impressive to watch Kentucky play without those two like big time guys. Like those are probably their two best players. Like I think. It's Mark Pope time.
I think my child's getting ready to get ripped up there. That sounds like something my little man's doing upstairs. Sorry, folks. We got the kids over here upstairs, and I think Clayton's trying to test his vertical out upstairs. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, honestly, I think Kentucky's a team that, like, could they could make a run in this tournament for sure. And I think we all kind of want to see Mark Pope win his first NCAA tournament game.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So,
thank
like,
you.
I'm a big Mark Pope guy, but
I'm a big Kels guy.
Yeah, this is like a weird place to be in.
I think everyone's going to be pulling for everyone a little
bit. Well, we've had these
tournament. As long as they don't match us up together, for God's sake.
We've had these like guys that were like these crazy Italian dudes that hated each other's guts.
Yes.
And it was like so easy to hate each
and
other.
Then we all got humbled. You all really got humbled. Yeah. Then we got humbled.
But now, like,
by
we
not
just
making
got...
the past the first round, you all have had, you know, we all want to kick the NCAA home office to the curb. But you know what I'm saying?
It is
refreshing that this year is going to be fun.
I don't know if I like
and
it.
And I love IU to get in
there. I don't
there.
Like the refreshing part.
I
like hating you guys.
Oh,
I like
no,
when,
but
I like when
after,
Kentucky has this villainous head coach.
I know, but after
you
this
know what I mean?
Year,
like,
maybe after this year that might change. But this year it's a love affair.
Yeah.
Because we're all just happy.
No, it yeah.
You know what
you
I
guys
mean?
Are like, it was like a cleansing because you got rid of all the Cal drama and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And like, and we've gotten rid of like 6 years of just vomit.
Yes.
And so, like, I'm not even going to put it all on Kenny Payne. Like, it was a bunch of crap leading up to that.
Oh,
so
it's been a
so
complete
just,
shit show for the better part.
I mean, this is the first
7-8 years
tournament. And I'd like to say, like, I honestly believe that we're locked in at this point. So I can say,
Dude.
Like, Louisville's in the tournament. This is the first time in 6 years, dude.
Right?
Like, since 2019.
So
now,
tell,
2020.
Tell us what you think you can do here in this tournament. Not the ACC tournament. I know what you can do in that. You can win it easily.
Yeah, I think.
Play.
I
Duke.
Want another shot at Duke just to kind of see how
right,
we play against
right.
them. Because we gave them hell here. But here's the thing with Louisville. Like, after Case and Pryor got hurt, I think there was a big confusion on what type of ball we're going to play. And then we come back from the Bahamas. He got hurt in the Oklahoma game. It was kind of panic mode at the end of that game. We lost that game.
Yep.
We come back home and we immediately play Ole Miss, who beat us by 20-plus points.
Right.
And then we're trying to find our footing, and then we go play Duke right after that. And it's like we kind of looked like we were figuring it out against
mm-hmm,
Duke,
mm-hmm.
and then we had to go down to Kentucky and play them down
right,
there.
Right.
And we actually –
you had a tough stretch right
we
there.
We gave Kentucky a good game.
You totally.
Like,
that's when it came together in
I
my opinion.
I felt like it was starting to click then.
That's when who's your one boy? I'm trying to think of his name.
Chucky
that's
Hepburn?
When, that's, no, Chucky was already playing good. That's when
Javon Hadley, Terrence Edwards.
Edwards started getting it together in that UK game. You could kind of see him starting to put things together. Now he knows his role.
Yeah, Cardin Nation's a little nervous right now because Terrence Edwards Jr. Just had a baby. And
man, you have all this intel that we don't know about.
Yeah, he just had a baby. He's a new father.
I knew about it. They talked about it on the ball game the other night.
Oh, okay.
They showed the baby picture.
Well, I didn't have sound.
He hasn't looked the best since he's had this baby. I'm worried
about
his
sleep.
Would?
I'm ready just about to say. I mean, he probably hadn't slept in a
I'm ready to get
week.
Down to Greensboro where my man's away from everything.
Yeah, right.
You know, he
get,
can get
that
some
boy
sleep
a nanny.
And then
I
hope they send us out to Seattle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like send us out west.
There you go.
So we don't, you know.
I hope UK goes out to the Midwest. I always think UK does better out there.
Yeah. But no, he's good. And I think they started getting it together right around then at the UK game. Now, we did have a big wake-up call right after that where we played poorly at UTEP. Against UTEP.
Well, and UTEP's not a bad team.
No, but we played pretty bad against them. And then we almost got beat by Eastern Kentucky. And if you remember, Noah Waterman made that layup with no time left.
Yeah.
Also a team that's
18
and 12. Not a horrible team.
Yeah, but you shouldn't lose to Eastern
Kentucky.
No,
you should not lose to Eastern Kentucky at home.
So right after that is kind of when Louisville got hot. It was like we looked like a different team. Because the way we came out in the Bahamas at the Battle for Atlantis, Travis remembers this one, it was the game one against IU. We just looked like this electric team that was just going to roll players in and out and just come at you in waves. And it we lost our waves because since then we lost Corin Johnson. Traore was out. Yeah. And then you lose Cason Pryor. So they had to learn how to play without these guys, where Terrence Edwards had to kind of play a backup point guard role
right
to Chucky. So it was just, it was weird. But like when they finally got it, it clicked. And I'm like, all right, this guy can coach because he just got thrown every curveball you could have.
Right.
And he's up there still taking cuts. And
possibly coach of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's in the argument.
National coach.
There's some guys. Like we just talked about Missouri and some stuff out there, and like Bruce Pearl, like just that record in the SEC, I feel like he's kind of got to get it.
And
but
I thought that
I think Izzo's up there too.
Izzo's definitely up there. There's a lot of guys that could like definitely deserve it.
I thought that last defensive possession last night that Louisville had, where they got the steal, at the end, that was such a neat little adjustment that they made on the way that they were going to guard that possession.
He gave credit to Brian Kloman for drawing that up.
I don't know who that is.
That's one of our assistant coaches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, whoever drew that up, I noticed it when I was watching the game live that they guarded. If you knew what you were seeing, it wasn't that subtle, but I could see that people wouldn't recognize it. But when I saw it, I went, man, that's genius. And I wrote it down in my little notebook as something to use.
Well, you can go back. I think Floyd Street Media, they do a good job with it. And they're part of the Field of 68 umbrella, I guess. But they do a lot of stuff on Kelsey, his ATOs, like the plays he draws up out of that.
Yep.
And it's incredible to watch. Like, really, I mean, the guy's a bench coach, and we haven't had something like that really since Denny.
But
I mean, you feel good about it anytime you call something out of a timeout. And he listens. Like, the thing I like about the guys, all these coaches are such egomaniacs, man. And he listens to his assistants. Like, he's like, I want guys that will yell at me and tell me to shut up and do this.
Right.
He's like, I don't want a bunch of yes men on my staff.
You don't want to feel like you're out there on an island, dude.
Yeah.
I know.
That's been one of a myriad of problems with Woodson's tenure at Indiana is, from all accounts, a relative lack of listening to the assistants and things like that. And I think a great head coach always listens to his assistants, because you don't have those guys on the bench for no reason, right? Like, they're there for, and
they're not just recruiters.
And for people who aren't like, don't know, the head coach does not game plan these games.
Mm-mm.
It always goes to an assistant. And so especially you listen to the guy that game planned it, because he's watched 1,000 times more film than you have.
Yep.
And that's a huge key. And Kelsey does come across as that kind of coach, and that's awesome.
Yeah. That as far as like this team going into the tournament's so tricky, you never really know, but I'm so excited to see us kind of play some quality teams. Just because we've had just the ACC has just been so bad.
Please don't put Louisville and Kentucky right there.
No, I don't want that. And don't put Louisville with St. John's either.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
I know, dude. And it's don't put UK with BYU. I don't want to play them either.
Yeah. I don't know. But the one thing you need in March to have any bit of success, well, you need two things. A great point guard, which I think we have. And I'd put Chucky. I'd take Chucky as any point over any point guard any day. I love the guy.
I don't blame you. Offensively and defensively.
And then you got to have a guy that can hit the three and score. And right. we've got that with right. Rain. So I don't know. Louisville could make a little run here. But it's all matchup dependent like this tournament is. You just never really know.
No, you're right. And it really would suck because I hope that the tournament committee is in that room. I hope that
we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Sorry about that. We had to take a quick break because it sounded like the Bulls were running through the streets of Pamplona or whatever upstairs.
John L's up there running.
So we had to go rectify that situation. But anyway, I think by.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Just if the committee's up there and they're talking about these games, give like you're talking about Kentuckiana, which is the city of the state of Louisville, Kentucky, and Indiana, the biggest basketball market in the freaking country every year. You know what I mean? We want, even if our teams aren't good, and by God, Louisville hadn't been in it. IU hasn't really been in it. UK's been out in the first round three times. And everybody, and we still the number one market watching college basketball through the whole tournament and everything.
NBA too.
And you're going to tell me y'all are going to try to get cute and we finally have new coaches and put Louisville, Kentucky in the same. Like, give me a break. This is a renaissance. A new thing happening for the biggest market in basketball. How about separating us so we can both enjoy it and you will make more money? It's real simple. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I saw when the Lenardi little fart man had something on there and everybody goes, look, they got Louisville and Kentucky matchup. Like, Lenardi, go get your teeth fixed.
I'm not letting that go.
Yeah.
Why do we call him Little Fart Man? Where did that come from?
Dude, Joe Lenardi is a turd. I don't like him. He's got crooked teeth. Like, if you're going to be on the air, quit slobbering on the camera and get your teeth fixed and get on there and get a makeover and look halfway decent. Heather Dittich did it, your girlfriend, for football. Do it for basketball.
Hold on. And she's dating Lenardi?
No, but they have been hitched up to where they're the same type people. Like, Heather Dittich is the football.
She's the football the college Lenardi?
Football. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this for a second.
And Lenardi, of course, you know what he's all about.
I don't understand bracketology. I think it's the dumbest thing ever. And, like, ESPN has all these layoffs all the time. I think he should have been the first to go because, for whatever reason, people just like looking at his brackets when they're never even close to being right. I don't get it. Like, I don't know. That job you can screw up the most at and be just fine. You just keep it. But Dittich is good. She's good at what she does. Yeah, Lenardi,
you
not
just
so
like
much.
Her long
I didn't
black
know that
boots.
You called him Fart Man.
You just like her long black boots.
You just like Lenardi's long black boots.
That's what I'm saying. They're a match made in heaven. They're like from Quinnipiac or
what? You throw in Kuiper, I guess. I guess Kuiper could enter into that world too.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly. Yeah, he's kind of in there with that.
Absolutely.
We got rid of Todd.
Todd's in there. Todd's been working his butt off this week.
Okay. It's good to have him back.
Yeah, it's combine week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you, it is combine week. I have.
Underwear Olympics.
Literally zero insight or anything to offer about the NFL Combine, Tuna. I know you follow this a little bit closer than what I do, which by that means, like, you could follow it 1/8 of 1%.
I have one.
So tell me something that I don't know about the combine.
I don't, dude. I just love the combine because I can just sit there and watch like defensive linemen run 40s all day long. I don't know why I can't. And, like, they look so uncomfortable because they're in like the tightest. Like they're wearing the stuff the guys are wearing on the Tour de France, and like these are like 350-pound dudes that are out here doing this stuff.
Yeah,
and like, but I can watch them do that, the bench press, all that all day. I like how uncomfortable they look when they're getting measured. This is when you find out how big guys' hands are,
right,
which we already know that Jalen Milroe's hands measured eight and a half inches.
Well, let me jump
That's
in.
That's pretty tiny.
Jalen Milroe has small hands. He's slow, and he can't jump. So I'm going to go ahead and give you that combine failure.
I'm going to do a prediction for Milroe right now.
Without can't read a defense.
That the Indianapolis Colts will draft him in the third round to back up Anthony Richardson.
There you go.
Know,
that's perfect.
I saw somebody on social media today saying that the Colts were, like, Ballard, the GM, had come out and said that he was not opposed to bringing a quarterback in to have an open competition. And whoever it was like, oh, well, I think it would be – we could have Jalen Milroe in there. And I said, these two assholes are the guys that are going to be fighting for the starting job? And you expect that to make either one of them better?
I think Ballard knows that he's probably going to get canned after this year, so he's trying to burn the house down from the inside before he gets
out. It sure seems like it.
But no, there's some guys like Tyler Shuck, who has shot up the rankings.
Well, I saw
lately.
The one guy on ESPN the other day say he thought he was one of the best quarterbacks coming out of the draft.
Yeah, he's might have found his way into the third or fourth round.
Yeah.
He hadn't even done the pro day yet, but they were just – everybody's been really impressed with him. And then Curtis Roark also is getting a little bit of love. But
oh, is he?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you what his prognostications were. I didn't know if he'd get drafted or not.
I'd say somewhere between like a 4-6 round guy. And like, you know, in the right opportunity, he comes in and he may be decent. You never know. He's tough, but.
Curtis, I know you want to start in the NFL, and I hope like hell you do. But if you don't, do like Nate Sudfeld did and just back up for 10 years. You'll get in every once in a while. You'll make a ton of money. And after it's over, you'll never have to work a real job in your life.
Well, the Atlanta Falcons said, what was it, today or yesterday, that they have no plans on releasing Kirk Cousins. He's just going to stay on as a backup. So he's a $50 million backup, which I find amazing.
That is great.
You know, they're definitely going with the other route.
Yeah, I mean, Penix is definitely going to get it.
Mike is the
starter. Oh, wait a minute. We call him Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
Mike.
Yeah.
It's Penix.
He's sometimes I dream.
He's Mike down here.
Then he is me.
On this podcast, he's Mike. Anything else to add to the combine?
Tuna just named the two slowest white guys that are going to dominate in the combine.
I don't know. They got big hands, though. You know what I mean? That's kind of that's all we're really worried about.
Shooting up that board.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What else come from the NFL? There's some stuff that came from the NFL. Oh, the tush push is getting reviewed.
Yeah, the tush push.
Now,
I would
like to have this conversation.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Okay. Yep. Do you you think it's ridiculous?
I do because I think Buffalo Bills did it just as much as the Eagles did and were somewhat successful with it, too.
My question is,
Bills were actually one of the teams that were going against it. Them and the Packers.
Thought it was the Packers and the Giants.
The Packers? I don't know about the Giants. I know the Bills
Maybe
were
Colin
involved.
Can fill us in on that. But
when did – because my whole life growing up
– you couldn't push people.
It was against the rules anywhere on the field. If your running back was running and he was getting tackled, you weren't allowed to come up and grab him, push him.
And you can't jump on someone's
because
back
I remember
block a shot, block a kick or something.
That famous game, the USC-Notre Dame game with Leinart and I think Reggie Bush was the tailback, and they scored at the very end of the game. By doing that, it was illegal back then.
That was Lindell White.
Oh,
Lindell White.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
And
greatest game I've
so
seen.
When did they change? Was it like right about then they just said, okay, we're going to go ahead and make this legal?
My understanding is, and I don't know if this is right or not, but they were saying that it the refs basically just quit calling it as illegal because they said it was too hard to tell if it was, you know, happening
right,
or not, to where they quit calling it and they basically just took it out of the rule books.
Okay.
And we've seen in over the last couple years, tush push aside, you know, linemen or whoever would grab people and start pushing them into the end zone.
Oh, dude, it happens.
And
it has happened. It
happens
10 times a game.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And from what Sirianni says is they really work hard on this. I'm sure they do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for someone, guys just say, well, we can't stop it, so you don't like it. I kind of agree with what one of the analysts was saying, who I like a lot, one of the quarterback brothers there. Played for the Cardinals.
Quarterback brothers.
Yeah, two brothers.
Cardinals.
Hasselback. I like what he said, and he
Matt
said
Hasselback.
Well, he
Tim.
Said if players start getting hurt on it,
Did
that's
Tim
when
even
the
play?
That's when the NFL's going to look
into it. He was on a team.
Oh. Yeah, Cardinals, and they're going to look into it. If no one's getting hurt on the play, then they're going to blow it off.
Yeah,
it's only when they're really looking at certain things like that is when players are getting
hurt. I feel like they can bring this up to a vote, and then it'll get voted on. And if there's enough teams that go against it, then it'll get voted out.
I mean, my thought, and I'm sure this is kind of obvious, but as long as the NFL deems it a legal play, then if you want to put your time and effort as a coaching staff into perfecting this particular play, and you do that and you're able to execute it, then fine. Now, what I am curious, what was the actual reasoning that the Packers or the Bills or whoever, what was their reasoning for wanting this play reviewed at least?
I believe that they're saying that you can put players in an unsafe position.
Okay, so it's ostensibly player safety.
Well, that's what the Packers were saying. I think it's more or less the Packers couldn't stop it in the playoff
Well,
games.
No.
So, right.
But yeah. I get all that. I want to know what
safety is
going to
be the reason. That's ultimately the reason.
Okay.
And then when you look at who is the guy, Lavolo, that kept jumping over the line
last year. Yeah.
That was unsafe for him to keep doing it. And if teams are going to start doing that, then you have two teams that are putting multiple players in unsafe situations.
I get that.
So they're trying to do it. But here's my thing with it. And I'm with you, Fred. I don't think they should outdo it. Unless multiple teams are doing it over and over again, and it can't be stopped.
Right.
But the fact is that we've only seen one team that can do it successfully over and over again, and no one has been injured yet.
Right. And I want to say that Hasselback had probably the best point that I've heard yet on it. The Eagles, look at their draft picks. Look who they go after. They have people that are these huge linemen and everything. Look at their quarterback.
Yeah.
He bench presses like 500, 600.
Well, he squats
whatever.
600, dude.
But,
so,
but they went after him. They draft people like that for those reasons. Like, that's their philosophy.
I'm with you. Screw Tim Hasselback. But my thing with linemen.
No, not Tim, Matt.
To get linemen, like, I honestly believe if the Eagles weren't running the tush push as much as they were, Jason Kelce would still be playing football.
Okay.
I think he knew that the tear that it had on his body, to be able to get that low as a center and try to push like that, and you're just getting sandwiched over and over again. That's the hardest person this is onto.
Well,
okay? And the quarterback, it doesn't even have to be your quarterback. I never understood why you'd put your quarterback in that spot anyway. If it's
well,
me.
Well, most people won't, but because they have Jalen Hurts, it's different.
I would still even take Jalen Hurts out and put in Jordan
and
Davis
Josh
or something.
Allen, like, you know.
Like, yeah, something like that. But, I mean, you know it's going to do it. You're not fooling anybody. Like, why don't the Ravens do it and line Derrick Henry up at quarterback spot? You know what I mean?
Well, he might fumble, but I'm saying the two quarterbacks. I don't think that
But to risk your quarterback getting hurt over
and over
again. But
the two most physical quarterbacks are the ones doing it. Mm-hmm. So that's not a.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you could see, like, the play itself. It's not about who's doing it. It's the play itself they're talking about making illegal. So if you start doing that play and you bring in like a big defensive lineman to play quarterback that's got great hands. Just take the fumbles out of the equation. I'm speaking hypothetical here. Like, wouldn't you do that over and over again? Why would you put your quarter? Like, if we ever put Patrick Mahomes in a tush push situation, I'm probably flying to Kansas City and smacking Andy upside his head.
Dude, I hear you. And as a, and on the college level, as a Bama versus Michigan tush push that never happened, yeah. I'm highly against it because we didn't do it and we should have.
I think the centers and the interior linemen are the ones that get the brunt of this. And that's what needs to be looked at. I really honestly believe that Jason Kelce would probably still be in the game if that wasn't a thing.
Well, let him keep doing podcasts.
He's making more money.
Funny
doing
guy.
That.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as we know,
Travis Kelce is coming back for another year.
Yeah.
That was announced, so
I saw that.
Not sure how I feel about that, but
start working
come on
out.
Back, buddy.
Go to the weight room right now.
Yep. We are going to have to draft his replacement at some point.
No more clubbing.
Yeah.
No more going to the club.
Fred, are you ready to talk
about
some,
them horses,
some,
dude?
Let's do tennis pump.
Let's talk derby prep, horse racing. The season is upon us. It was in the 70s here today. Beautiful day.
Tuna's wearing shorts.
I was wearing shorts out running errands today.
I acting like it was like, you know, 40 degrees outside.
It was warm out.
It was almost
70 degrees.
Yeah, it was like 72 at 3 o'clock.
Freddie probably got the heat on in his house still.
Well, I had to turn the heat on in here or else we would have...
I like a warm house.
We would have icicles hanging off our nose down here in the downstairs pub studios.
My high knees are cold.
That is neither here nor there. It is derby prep season in full swing. Freddie, talk about what happened this past weekend and what we are looking forward to this weekend.
Well, I wanted to talk about the first thing, first race that went off last week. And if you haven't had a chance to look at it, you need to. But it was the Saudi Cup in Dubai, which, yes, there's a whole lot of horses in there that are seasoned. The winner gets $12 million. It's a long race. If you haven't seen it yet, Forever Young wins against one of the favorites, and it is a Aladar affirmed battle to the end.
That's
you've
not a
gotta
derby
watch
prep,
it. No,
right?
No.
Okay.
I just wanted to get that out of the way. You've got to see the Saudi Cup. Just replay it. It's one great race to see when you see a horse getting $12 million for that. Yes, last week we had a one big derby prep. You know, the point system is now in place for 50, 25, 15, and 10. Most of the races are beyond 7 furlongs now. That's a lot of these horses are making 3 turns for the first time. Some have already done that. You had the Rebel Stakes that was this past week. If you listen now, I think when I did the show, I may have said when I called in that I like Speed King and Coal Battle. I know I said Coal Battle. If you bet Coal Battle, folks, you did well. If you took my pick, it paid 25 to win, and I'm gonna tell you, I did really well on that one. Coal Battle is the cool. Let me tell you something about Coal Battle. He's won 3 major prep wins, guys. And I'm talking of all these derby preps that are going 3 turns. He's won 3 of them. His trainer, Lonnie Briley, 74-year-old guy, is probably going to be one of the coolest stories as long as this horse stays healthy when they come to Louisville. He's just a good old boy. Well, what'd he say, Travis? I think he said, he goes, ain't he fun? He goes, he ain't got a pimple on him, but he sure is a cool little dude. That's what he had to say when his horse beat Big Bob Baffert's Matticat Road, who ran another great race, and Sandman was coming hot, the closer, three great horses ran great races in that race. Cole Battle comes out the winner. The only other horse that has won three Derby preps is the $1 Million Citizen Bull. That is another Baffert horse, and he'll be running later on down the line. We also had the John Battaglia that Tuna was zeroed in for. That was at Turfway. And Tom Drury's horse, California Burrito, wins that. He's a front runner. Baby Max was second. Maximum Promise third. A closer. Now, here's the weird thing, and I'm going to have to figure this out, but California Burrito only got 20 points in that race. And I haven't figured out why that is.
Well, I have no idea how that point thing works.
Well, the point system works for every race, but I think that some of these smaller ones, like the Jeff Ruby
Stakes, not worth as many,
and
right?
the John Battaglia, they're not worth as many. And I hate to say it, but California Burrito is running in the Jeff Ruby Stakes, which is another one that's going to be for 20. So he's going to have to win that race unless he gets into something else. But coming up this weekend, three huge Derby preps. I want to ask y'all if y'all have looked at the fields, who you may like in the race, but I guess we'll start off.
I'm going to tell you right now, I know nothing. So
yeah, okay, well, I'm going to tell you.
You're going to fill us in completely on this.
And I'm not going to give you every horse that's in it, but we're going to start off with the race that's Saturday at in New York City, the Gotham Stakes. It's a huge Derby prep every year. That goes off at 4:18, so 4:20. Tuna, and
why you say me when you say 4:20?
4:20, baby. Well, no, I'm not saying you. I'm saying me. I'm saying me, not you.
I was gonna say, of anybody down in this basement,
I'm just trying to get his attention.
4:20 would probably mean the least to him.
Yeah. And it does. But 4:20, I'm trying to get his attention here. 4:20, Freddie will be ready at 4:20 for this race. Sand Devil is 3 for 3. Linda Rice, a great up-and-coming trainer. Sacrosanet, Brad Coxhorse, is also 3 for 3. None of and Normandy Coast are the three top choices. Eddie Keneally.
Is that the name of a horse, Eddie Keneally?
No, he's a trainer.
Nah, it'd be so much better if that was a horse.
I know.
That is a great name.
Yeah.
But none of these horses have ran in any prep that I have started since January. So none of these horses have points, even though they have ran two turns and some allowances and things of that nature. I'm going to go with... a horse. I mean, I think Sand Devil and Sacrosanet are probably going to battle in that race, but I'm going with Normandy Coast for value and Eddie Keneally. I'm going with that horse and see what I can do on that. Next race, 5:42 in the afternoon is the Fountain of Youth. Obviously,
5:42 for all you potheads.
5:42 for all you, if you want to light up again, or that's kind of where you're going to get your steaks on the grill right about then, isn't it? But Fountain of Youth, this is a lead up to the Florida Derby. The Fountain of Youth is in Florida. We've got horses that have ran and won a couple Derby preps. Burnham Square. Burnham Square is the local ties to Ian Wilkes, a local trainer here in Louisville. He is a closer. We've also got Sovereignty. That is a well-thought-of horse that Bill Mott has. Also a closer. He has won the Street Sense, which was at Churchill Downs, so he's got a win there. The other two horses, the other two top choices are their River Thames and Gate to Wire, two Pletcher horses. Johnny V is on River Thames. I'm going with that horse, for value. And I may throw Burnham Square. I know, UK Bill, a listener to this show, is all over Burnham Square. with the local ties. But
I have a quick question. Fred.
Yeah.
Sounds like a soccer team.
Is River Thames, like the city close to Lexington that has the sister city in France? So they call it Versailles, and we call it Versailles. Is River Thames really its name, or is it the River Thames?
It could be pronounced Thames. It's T-H-A-M-E-S.
River
For
Thames.
All you Frenchmen out there.
I believe that's probably pronounced the River Thames.
I like River
Thames.
Well,
I like
better
it even better now.
Because I was thinking like a childhood actor. River Thames. Yeah.
Yeah, like River Phoenix. Yeah.
That just struck me.
So River Thames. Sorry, Travis brings in his French education.
But the thing about horse names is that could absolutely be a play on that.
Right.
And Thames could be something completely different.
I think
so
it's River Thames. I actually do.
I am not discounting.
I don't
that
know
that
how you can't
be.
Like if you're a horse gambler, gate to wire. I mean,
well,
that's what you want.
That's a pretty
right?
good. That's a pretty good horse name.
Is that the name of the horse? I thought you were just saying what he was good at.
No, that's the.
I was like,
the horse.
I mean, he's got that covered. That's pretty.
And
much
I'm gonna
race.
Tell you, folks. Todd Pletcher has no horse in my top 20. Nor does Bill Mott, Whoa. For that matter. And they
Tough
are.
Scene for
this
the
is
Pletchers.
A big race for both Pletchers. Those guys.
He'll probably only have four horses in the Derby this year.
You never know. We'll see what happens. But it is strange to not see Pletcher jumping
yeah,
in. But he
yeah.
always will have something in the Florida Derby and the Fountain of Youth. He is the Florida guy. Then my favorite race goes off at 6:45 in California in the Santa Anita.
6:45 in California or 6:45 in East Coast?
6:45 East Coast time,
okay.
But it's in California.
Okay.
And these are the best field, in my opinion. Three horses that have already won Derby preps, and they are highly thought of. The 2.5 million dollar horse that was purchased back in the day, Barnes, that is a Bob Baffert horse, won the San Vicente. You got Journalism, who won the Los Alamitos. That's a Mike McCarthy horse. You have Rodriguez. You got Rodriguez.
Where's he at?
Not Alex. Don't call me Alex. Rodriguez. Second in the Robert B. Lewis, that's a Baffert horse. You've got Travis's Derby horse, if he does well.
The Robert
Mellencamp,
B. Lewis? Oh.
As in John Mellencamp.
They should have named it Cougar.
And that is a Baffert horse. All these horses are
Cougar
very, are very well thought of, name. For sure, I'm telling you. Barnes, Journalism, Rodriguez, Mellencamp.
Is Mellencamp a legit contender to make the Derby or is
well
there...
no yes he has
no, yes.
He is the only horse that has not raced in a Derby prep three turns,
okay,
but this is his first.
Where's he
time.
From was he born in a small town?
Maybe. Okay. He's got a little pink house, okay. Little pink stall.
Oh Lord.
And but yes, these were I'm gonna go with Journalism in this one. But Barnes, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. There's only six horses in it. I didn't mention the other two because I quite frankly don't think they have a chance. But anyways, three huge Derby races. I've got my – I will put my top 20 out sometime that has Citizen Bull and Coal Battle in the top horses right now.
I like Coal Battle.
Yeah, trust me, if people like Mountain Mamba, who ain't gonna like Coal Battle?
Yeah, right.
Around these towns. I'll tell you what, I'll run off some names right now in my top 16 here, buddy. Citizen Bull, Coal Battle's number two. I got Getaway Car, number three.
Mm-hmm. But it's a horse. You can't call yourself a car if you're a horse.
Now, this horse may go down a little because he ran a bad race last week, but yeah. Tiz Tastic. Speed King also ran a bad race.
Speed King. That's Speed a horse King. That would have won the Derby in like 1936.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, we're your Speed King coming down the track. Then you
got, come around the third turn.
I like one-syllable horse names. I've always been a sucker for that. Here's one. Built. Simply Built. Travis is going to like this one. My number 8 horse, Omaha, Omaha.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Very good.
Manning.
Very good.
Is Peyton Manning on that horse?
I don't know. He
probably has a piece of it.
Because he's Omaha Productions.
I'm pretty sure that's a Baffert horse as well out west. He seems to be having the same things. He's got some ties from Indianapolis somehow, doesn't he? Mellencamp, Omaha, Omaha.
I was going to say, I think Baffert might have had something to do with how Peyton miraculously recovered from that neck injury about a decade ago.
So you're saying,
I'm going to leave that alone.
So you're saying they shot him up with
something? No. I'm going to leave that alone.
So then you got Sandman. I mean, you love Inner Sandman. You love Virginia Tech, right? Then Poster is my 10 horse. Owen Almighty, my 11. Gaming. Who don't like gaming? Tuna loves gaming.
Video games?
No, just gaming.
That's what they call playing video games.
Okay,
now.
Gaming.
I'm not a gamer, so I don't want gaming to win.
Burnham Square 30. John Hancock.
What an awful name for a
horse. Is the 14 horse, John Hancock. You ever heard of John Henry? One of the greatest horses of all time. The 15, which scratched last week, that could have given them some trouble, Bullard. And 16, Barnes, Maticat Road, is my last choice there, top 20. But look, at this point, I'm going with the horses that I think are seasoned, but there's can be some long shots in there, man.
Of course.
It's going to be fun. I mean, I'm pumped that you all got Mellencamp and California Burrito, and of course, I'm all over
Cole Battle.
We
didn't even mention California Burrito tonight.
Yeah, I just did.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
See, you weren't listening.
I don't listen to a lot of stuff.
California Burrito, Tom Drury, another local connection here. And he only got 20 points. You didn't hear that?
I thought you might be mad about the controversy.
Yeah, I was fired up about it.
Okay.
I'm just now calming down. Maybe that's why I didn't hear it.
Yeah, he had one of those things where he like rage blanked out his brain.
Yeah.
He was so distraught by only getting 20 points. He just shut it down.
I don't really want to relive that moment.
But guys, after this, I'm going to tell you right now, after this week, next week, let's see here. Just so you know, the preps that are coming, and they're coming fast, dude. The next one is going to be the Tampa Bay Derby, which is obviously Florida. And then we start getting into the Louisiana, Arkansas. This is all in March, the Florida. So San Felipe coming up and the Tampa Bay Derby are next.
And to be fair, like those races you just mentioned are the ones that
these
typically,
are big races.
Those
these
are
three
the ones,
races are big
right.
races.
That's what I was going to say. But the ones you just mentioned that are coming up after that are the ones that usually get me
right. I get
more.
You. Yeah. And you
and
will.
And I'll start paying attention
exactly,
to those races.
Exactly.
But it's good to have these other ones because some of these horses inevitably will end up being in the Derby.
Right.
So,
right. No, oh, they dude, some of them already have points. They're
right,
already in.
Right.
Yeah. And the real thing is health. You know, like the you know that horse that went out for Steve Asmussen Magnitude, who got a 108 buyer, looked like the fastest horse you've seen yet, and then he has a bone chip.
Yep.
You know, and he's out.
That's what happens.
That simple.
That's what happens in this
game.
And
we know that this happens sometimes the last few years on Derby Day or Oaks Day.
Yeah.
The favorite or one of the top horses, Practical Joke, have been X'd out right then and there.
We need a Cal Ripken of horses.
We do.
Like an Iron Man.
Well, now, Dwayne Lucas is a guy that runs his horses a lot still. Like, some of his horses may have 7 or 8 races before he gets into, like, one of the final preps.
Well,
it's insane. He still believes in doing that, and he's back on the board with some horses this year.
I think the horse that that Wayne Lucas rides around Churchill Downs is about 40 years old, so he may qualify.
He may qualify. Buck's still there, buddy, and he's still there. I see him on the backside.
Always.
He's still got his cowboy hat on, and he's trucking around. I'm not quite sure if D-Wayne is on the horse anymore. He's getting to be a pretty old guy, but he's still on the backside.
He's in his mid-80s, I think.
Yeah. But, man, I'm telling you, he is still doing his thing.
Yeah. Any other topics that we have not touched on tonight that we really need to get to before we have gone, as we always do? We're sitting outside earlier tonight, and we're like, oh, this not a whole lot going on. This might be a quick show. We're at an hour and almost 30 minutes already. We definitely are going to get in. We don't have time, obviously, tonight, so I don't want to get it started. We're going to do a deep dive into baseball, the outlook for Major League Baseball, because I know that I'm excited about the team that I cheer for. Tuna, as always, has the proverbial favorite. Freddie is a Reds fan, just like I am. Colin's a big Reds fan. So
first game today.
We're going to have
a lot to look forward to in Cincinnati this year.
We're going to have a lot to talk about relative to baseball as the college basketball season winds down. Of course, Tuna mentioned it a couple weeks ago. Is it called the UFL now?
Yes.
The UFL is going to be coming up. Mm-hmm. My DC Defenders, I plan on doing a half hour just on them mm-hmm. at some point.
I do want to. We need to go on to a game this year.
Yeah, and I have a tool, like a kazoo that now does a ka-ka that actually does it without me doing it. It's like a, yeah, they have them at the games.
I kind of like when you do it better.
Ka-ka, ka-ka.
With all that being said, if nobody has another topic, I'm going to go ahead and call last call down here, and I'm going to start out with Tuna. What you got for last call?
All right. Are you guys familiar with this website? I got a couple things here. There's a website where I believe fan something. It's for athletes going to college to where they put their profile on there, and fan bases can bid money on them, almost like an auction.
They used to run commercials for that on like 790 or one of the local radios. I remember hearing about that. I didn't know it still existed.
Well, this is what I'm getting at here. Now that's NIL. So like, say like Louisville fans have like, they're all bidding for a kid and it ends up being like, he selects that kid. All the Louisville money would go to him, but like all the Kentucky fans or Indiana fans that put money up would come back to him.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you would make a donation.
Yep.
Well, I guess this website, which is just back like recently, and they've got a couple high profile athletes, they made a deal recently with KSR, Kentucky Sports Radio.
Okay.
To where they had a promo code, and you got on there and you would put in the promo code KSR and you would get $25 that you wouldn't pay. The website would pay it for you,
right?
And it would donate it to the
kind of like
fund.
A free bet on FanDuel,
like a free $25.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Louisville fans, I tip my hat to you boys.
I can already see where this is going.
You discovered that you could get on and use the code KSR and get your free $25, but you didn't have to donate under Kentucky. You could donate for Louisville under that name. So that promo code was up for less than 10 hours, I believe, and then it was yanked down.
See ya.
So touche to Louisville fans.
That's great.
And, I love that. And then secondly, it's kind of grim. Freddie, I know you're a big NASA guy, aren't you? Big time NASA guy.
NASCAR?
NASA.
Sure.
Yeah.
Buzz Aldrin.
Apparently,
all the
we've
way.
Got a meteor that's going to hit us in 2032. The percentage chance has gone from 1% to 3% in like the last year. That's pretty scary.
I just saw yesterday that the newest projection had taken it from 3% under 1%.
Oh, I think they're lying to us to try to get us to calm down.
Don't look up.
Because I'm already freaking out.
Hey, quite frankly, I'm being facetious, but at this point, maybe a meteor hitting the Earth wouldn't be the worst thing that ever happened.
This depends where it hits.
And you're saying, how much is a...
Oh, God, I got Freddie Googling.
No. Fred, look this up after the show.
Oh, I will.
I do not want you to have your attention diverted.
So, but I guess the point of that is this is going to come in 2032. So right now it's 2025. So I guess the Dodgers have a chance to get 7 more World Series in before then.
Yep.
So that's our goal, guys. Keep fighting for it, Dave.
Freddie, last call.
I want to give my my deep cut band of the week.
Oh, yeah, please. Oh, before we do that,
okay.
Let's talk about last week when you mentioned Vince Gill, and in my brain the entire time I am thinking of Pure Prairie League.
Yes.
The entire time.
And we mentioned Pure Prairie League.
And I didn't even, and as soon as I listened, when I was editing the show and I heard, and you said Poco, I went, I thought he said Pure Prairie League.
Right.
I swear he did.
Right.
Clearly
and
you
didn't. And we talked about it, and yes, so just so we know.
So, yes.
That Vince Gill was in Pure Prairie League.
Yes.
Timothy B. Schmidt was in Poco.
Yes.
They've all kind of played together. Obviously,
well, of
two of them went on to the Eagles. So.
Yes. But, okay. Anyway.
But, yes. Mine is, we're getting off the country rock a little bit, but my dad turned me onto this band way back when, and it is one of the best three-member bands of all time, in my opinion. And Travis, I know one of his favorite bands of all time is a three-man band from Canada as well. And
are you going to talk about Triumph?
I am.
All right.
Was that going to be your band? No.
No, I don't have.
You don't have. But Rick,
I'm
Emmett,
not
I was going to say, are we all supposed to?
I'm not stepping
this
on your gimmick here.
This band is called
here.
Triumph. Rick Emmett, Mike Levine, and one of the greatest drummers. This band is so much like a poor man's Rush. Gil Moore to a la Neil Peart. One of the greatest drummers. I just love some of their songs. Triumph, you've got to get into some of their deep cuts. Laying It on the Line. I mean, there's just so many good ones.
Rick Emmett is a fabulous guitar player fabulous songwriter.
World of Fantasy, Fight the Good Fight, Lay It on the Line. I mean, just so many great songs. Hold On. And I just love that band. It's one of my favorites.
I'm young,
up.
I'm wild, I want to be
I'm
free.
Yeah, yeah. So the Triumph, if you haven't heard them, go out and listen to them. They're a good hard rock band from the 70s and 80s.
Is that it?
That's it for me, buddy.
All right. I really don't have anything to add to that except to say that if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. Let them know that you can find us wherever they find their favorite podcasts. I'm going to flip on the Indiana-Penn State game. We've got Kentucky getting ready to tip off, so Freddie's headed back to the garage bar for that this evening. As always, want to thank everybody for listening. We will be back next week. Look forward to talking to you all then. For the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.